Hawaii is a world leader in the science of astronomy, and this month, Hawaii's leading observatory is getting a new head scientist. Astronomer and physicist John O'Meara has just started his new job as chief scientist at the Keck Observatory. But as HPR's Ryan Finnerty tells us, his new role will entail more than just science.
Well, the role of the chief scientist is to be sort of the public face and public voice of science at the observatory, and also to be an important interface between lots of different stakeholders in the observatory. We have, of course, the astronomers, and we have the great staff here, and we have the director, but we also have a board of trustees and a science steering committee. And the chief scientist is really supposed to be kind of an interface between all those to help articulate and form and work together to build a science policy for the observatory and to really respond to changes in trends in astronomy to make sure that the observatory has the type of instrumentation that we need, that we're doing the cutting-edge astronomy that we've always been doing for 25 years, but to jump on the really new emerging trends in astronomy that are super exciting. And we want to maintain our leadership, and the role of the chief scientist is to really just be part of the community and help hone that message and work together towards a common goal.
A lot of people in Hawaii might sort of take it for granted that there is a lot of cutting edge leading science in the field of astronomy happening here. Could you give us just a brief overview of what type of work is being done at Keck right now?
Oh, sure. I mean, Keck impacts almost every level of astronomy. You can think about the solar system, where Keck plus adaptive optics has been doing wonderful things in the solar system, looking at moons of Jupiter and moons of Saturn and Neptune and Uranus. And then when you get farther out in astronomy, Keck is working on some really exciting things about very, very, very early stars in the universe, trying to think about some of the first stars in the universe, but also thinking about stars in our solar system in our galaxy that may have planets around them. Keck has been a consistent leader in the search for planets around other stars, and we're working on new types of instrumentation to measure that much more precisely and push it forward towards, you know, a goal of finding maybe an Earth-like planet around a Sun-like star. That's one of the big ideas that we're trying to work on in astronomy today. And then when you think about galaxies and how they work together, we've got exciting new instrumentation and instrumentation under development to really go deep down inside of galaxies, understand their black holes in the center, understand how galaxies form, understand how galaxies change over time. We don't understand that very well. And Keck has really been a major part of that story for many decades. And looking forward, we're just going to be looking at higher resolution and deeper dives to understand really at a fundamental level how they work. And that's really exciting territory. And I think the most, you know, the newest thing coming along is the area of transient astronomy and multi-messenger astronomy. So explosions of supernovae or colliding neutron stars that make powerful explosions out there in the universe, but only emit for a very brief period of time. So you have to have an observatory that can be there very, very quick to respond and catch that light before it fades away. And we're creating new plans to be able to do that, especially as, you know, gravitational wave observatories find more things and as we find more supernovae events and as survey telescopes find more and more exciting things to point at.
John, how important is Keck's physical location here in Hawaii to the work that you're doing?
Oh, the site on Mauna Kea is absolutely critical to do world-class astronomy. Mauna Kea is, of course, very high up, about 13,700 feet up at the summit, and because of that, there's a lot less atmosphere, which is, you know, bad for human beings, but great for astronomy. It means you have a lot less blurring effects of light, and being kind of close to the equator, so you can see a significant part of the sky, and being that high up, it's one of the best places in the world.
And John, it sounds like a big part of your new position will be communicating, whether with staff at Keck or with the public or leaders in the community. And we always hear that communication is a big challenge for many scientists, communicating what their work is doing, the importance of it, how it can benefit the community. Is that a problem you've encountered in your professional career?
Oh, certainly. I think, you know, scientists love to get deep down into what they're doing research-wise and sometimes forget who pays for that, which is the public and just a lot of organizations and donors and various other things. So we need to be able to communicate what we do very well with all those folks. And so my job, fortunately, I can leverage sort of 10 years as an educator to to be able to distill these things down into chunks that anybody can work with and communicate the science at all levels. And so I think that's a big part of my job, if not the most important part of my job, is to be able to reach out to all those parts of the community, work together with them, communicate the great science that we're doing, and figure out how to work together to do even better science going forward.
Well, while we have you here, then, what's your elevator pitch for astronomy, and maybe specifically for astronomy in Hawaii?
I think, you know, my elevator pitch for Hawaii is that there's no place better in the world to do blue wavelength astronomy and to do really dark sky astronomy. And there's no better place for that than Mauna Kea. And having all these telescopes up there working really hard, working together, brings great science to the world, and then we have to spread that science out. And so Keck has been a leader in that. I've been really happy to be a part of that community for two decades now, and I'm really excited to bring us to, you know, these new exciting areas in science and continue to change the world with sharing our common sky.
John, it seems like in more recent history, science has become a lot more political than it used to be. And I wonder if that's something you've encountered in your work life, and just how do you view the relationship between science and politics and scientists and politics and how they have influenced each other in recent years?
Yeah, we would love to be in a world where science wasn't political, but that's not reality. All aspects of things in everyday life and certainly in science life have an aspect of politics to them. At the end of the day, many of our instruments are funded by national agencies, or many of the grants that fund astronomers are funded by national agencies, which means it's part of the national dialogue, and the national dialogue is politics at local level, at federal level, at all these levels. And so politics may not, you know, science and the sky is not a Democrat versus Republican issue, but it is part of the political discussion because, you know, at the end of the day, we have to decide how we value things, how we pay for things, and how we want to do things going forward. So this goes back to your earlier question about communicating science. This is why it's so important for us to be good communicators of science, so that the public understands where their money's going and why we're doing great things, and to show them how exciting the sky can be.
And John, it seems like this is a real golden age for astronomy. There are constantly new discoveries being made. Do you have any hopes or predictions maybe for the next 10 or 20 years, new discoveries that might come either out of Keck or anywhere else in the world?
Oh, I think there's going to be some very exciting science coming in the next decades. The field of exoplanet exploration, characterization of exoplanets, finding them, understanding them is clearly going to be a big part of science going forward. And Keck's been a wonderful leader and is really looking forward towards the next generation of instruments and the next generation of science questions for those. So searching for life in the universe, but I think even larger than that, telling the story of life in the universe, not just finding planets and looking for biosignatures in their atmospheres, but understanding how the elements got there in the first place. That means understanding stars, understanding how the stars group together. That's understanding galaxies. And so putting that sort of as a collective goal out there for the next decade to be able to tell the story of life in the universe is going to be a really exciting thing for astronomy and a wonderful thing for Keck, because we're so well positioned to do that well, to continue to do that well, and to continue to lead.
All right, John O'Mara, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
That was the Keck Observatory's new chief scientist, John O'Mara, who came via St. Michael's College in Vermont, where he taught astronomy and physics. I'm Catherine Cruz, and you are with The Conversation.